Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're delighted to have you with us again today, and we hope that the radio broadcast is a blessing to all. We're turning today in Acts chapter 17, and we're going to title the message, The God of Creation. And notice with me as we come here, we're reading from verse 22. Now, I'm going to make reference to many of the verses in this chapter, but let me read just a few verses to begin our message here today. And we find that the Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill, reading from verse 22 of Acts 17. And he says here, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" Heavenly Father, we do ask today thy blessings, thy anointing upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we pray today for that soul that's nearest hell, that you bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we also pray today for the saints of God that are listening, that they might be edified in the faith, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to look at the subject here, the God of Creation, and I want to make mention some resources that are available to you, and you can find us at biblicaltruth.info. You can go on the internet and find us at biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, there's thousands of other ministers on the one website. You would need to go to the sidebar, find the section that is titled Speakers, type my name in, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, you will automatically be on our personal website. The reason I give you these sites is that we have literally hundreds of sermons and articles on these two websites. Again, biblicaltruth.info. And in these articles, these are basically a sermon in print. And the sermons, most of them are full-length sermons that are preached in our church. Now, notice with me as we come back to the book of Acts, chapter 17, and we are going to pick up the text here from verse 16. Now, let me lay a foundation. Because of our brief time here on the radio, I'll not read every verse, but we'll read several, and then we'll make reference to other passages. We find here that the Apostle Paul, in verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." As Paul is in Athens, Greece, and he is on Mars Hill, according to verse 22, we find that in verse 18, well, verse 17, he's been in the synagogue, also with the Jews, speaking to them. He also went into the market daily and ministered there. But on Mars Hill, we find that this is where the philosophers gather together to discuss particular issues. And the Apostle Paul is bringing unto them, preaching unto them, Jesus and the resurrection. And they challenge him. And so he begins to speak to them. Now, those in Athens and here on Mars Hill, we find that they spent in their time, much of their time in verse 21, in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. We know that those in Athens, Greece, they were one of the most highly cultured and artistic people in the ancient world. But they did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We find they were idolaters. They were well-educated men. They were philosophers. They're mentioned again in verse 18 and verse 19. But when we find the Apostle Paul in the midst of Mars Hill in verse 22, where we read a moment ago, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.'" In other words, they were very religious people, but they were not Christians. They had never been converted. They've never been saved by the grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come here, we see that the Apostle Paul, in verse 23, he said, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" They were idol worshipers, according to verse 16. The whole city was given over to idolatry. But evidently they did not want to leave any god out, and so they had an idol. They had an altar, I should say, and with an inscription on the altar that says, "To the unknown God." Well, we know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, was unknown to these idolaters. And so the Apostle Paul in verse 24, he says, in referring to God, the one that he declares unto them, he said in verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Verse 25, "Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Not only that, in verse 26, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." We find that the Apostle Paul stands on Mars Hill among the idolaters and the philosophers, all of the great minds of Athens, Greece, and he stands there and declares unto them the God of creation. Now we find that as we come to the scripture, God has revealed himself to mankind in a number of ways so that man is without excuse. We find that God has revealed himself in creation. He's also revealed himself in the canon of Scripture. God has given us his word. And then we find that man has a conscience, according to Romans 2 and other places. In other words, you say, what is a conscience? It's that little thing that keeps getting in the way inside of us when we sin against God. So God has placed within every man that there is a creator and that he needs salvation. God has also given us the Word of God. The Word of God that we're reading from here in Acts 17 clearly declares that God created all things. He's our creator and our savior. He sent the Lord Jesus, his son, to this earth to die on the cross, to shed his blood that we might have eternal life. And then he's given us creation. From Genesis chapter 1, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." We also find that God's Son and God's Spirit, God the Spirit, maybe I should put it that way, and God the Son and God the Father, the triune being, was involved in creation. The Spirit of God is mentioned to us in Genesis chapter 1. we find in many places that the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. Why, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We see clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ created, was involved in creation of the world, of the universe, and of man. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 1, a New Testament book also, Colossians chapter 1, we find very clearly in 16 and 17 in a reference to Christ. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And then in verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And then in verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. So we find that the Lord Jesus Christ not only created all things, but all things consist. In other words, all things are held together. And that is amazing. We find this again in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. In verse 3, we find who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And I didn't read all of verse 2, but in the latter part of verse 2, speaking of Christ, who is appointed heir of all things, and then he says, by whom also He made the worlds. And then the everlasting gospel in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, he refers to the everlasting gospel that is to be preached to all that dwell upon the earth in verse 6. Verse 7 says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We find that the everlasting gospel speaks of fearing God, giving Him glory, and worshiping Him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill at Athens, Greece, before the philosophers and the great minds of Greece of that day, he is declaring unto them the God of creation. The Apostle Paul confirms his doctrine of the one and true God by creation and providence. In other words, He made the worlds and He governs it. Not only did He create all things and all things are held together, but He created all things and He governs all things to this day. And again, this concept is seen in many other places. It's amazing to me that we breathe His air, we drink His water, we eat His food. According to Matthew 5, 44 through 48, we enjoy the sunshine and the rain and all the things that God has given to us, and still yet people reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely amazing. And not only does God give us eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, but we find in the Holy Scripture that God gives us every breath that we take. You quit breathing for 3 or 4 minutes and it's over. And God gives you every breath. Thousands of breaths that you take every day, God has given that to you. God has given that to me. Every breath that we take, and men use the same breath to deny God, to curse God, and to blaspheme God. But we're told that those who receive the gospel, they fear him, they worship him, and we find very clearly that they follow him. In other words, they believe on him as their Lord and their Savior. They give glory to him, they fear him, and they worship, not idols, they worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea. And this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God who created all things. This is whom that the Apostle Paul is declaring unto the great minds, the philosophers, those at Athens, Greece, on Mars Hill, that they spent their life either telling something new or hearing something new. And the Apostle Paul declared unto them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he not only created the universe, he not only created heaven and earth and all the things that we enjoy and see and experience, but we find that in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. There's no such thing as evolution. There's no such thing as idols or other gods that men claim to worship. But we find that the God of heaven and earth, that he created all things and he created the human race. Notice he mentions the phrase, one blood. One blood. What does that mean? That means there's one race. There is the human race. We all go back and are connected with Adam and Eve from the very beginning. There is one blood, one race. That one blood or one race is the human race. And we're all in the same boat. We are descendants of Adam and Eve. We are born in sin. We need a Savior. And that's why that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for our sins. We find that in Romans chapter 1, if you begin in verse 16, he mentions the gospel in verse 16 and 17. In verse 18, he speaks of those who reject the gospel. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." You see, man has a conscience, and man has creation. God, he said in verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." Mankind is without excuse. And we find he's speaking of the nations in general. And he said in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Those who believe in evolution, those who deny creation, they're fools. They profess themselves to be wise. They want to sound wise and educated. And they'll tell you how old the earth is. It's either millions or billions of years of age, they tell us, but they don't really know how old the earth is. And we find here that they become fools, professing themselves to be wise. And he said, "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And then God gave them up," in verse 24, "to their uncleanness and to their lust." Again, in verse 25 of Romans 1, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And then in verse 26, what did God do? Because they did not want the truth. They changed the truth into a lie. They worship and serve the creature, that is idols, and man. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. And then again, God gave them up unto vile affections. Women with women, doing that which is wrong. Men with men, burned in their own lust. How do we ever get to this place? We get to this place by a godless society. God will turn us over to our own corrupt Adamic nature if we rebel against His word and His truth and the gospel that He has given to us. Three times in this passage, God gives up. Then again, we find in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And he lists about 20 sins, beginning with unrighteousness and fornication and covetousness. In other words, when a man rejects the gospel and the God of creation, rejects the truth of God, God will give them over to their own lust, to their own uncleanness. God will give them over to their own vile affections in verse 20. And if they continue on that course, God will even give them over to a reprobate mind. Why does a person end up with a reprobate mind? Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And he lists all those sins. And then he says, as in verse 18, judgment was coming upon them. In verse 18, again, the judgment of God will come upon those. So we find that those who have a reprobate mind are those who rejected God and did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and so God just turned them over to themselves. And I'm saying to you is that in this passage of Acts 17, the apostle stands and declares unto them the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of creation, in other words, who created all things and created man to worship him. And not only that, he shows them how that they can be saved. He goes on in the passage and he says in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then, we're the offspring of God. We ought not to think of the Godhead, that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And then he said in verse 30 and 31, he said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Now that was the Old Testament. There was things that was overlooked, but he says, but now, I'm reading in verse 30, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Think about that. We find that we have the full revelation of God. Yes, God judged men in the Old Testament for the rebellion, but we also find that Jesus Christ has come and brought forth the light. He died for the sins of the world. And if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'm just telling you that if you don't repent and receive Him, there is a day of judgment. Notice this, He commands all men everywhere to repent. This repentance we see in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it again in Acts 20, verse 16 through 20, Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, and Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 through 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 2, verse 37 through 41. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, the Thessalonians, they had turned from sin to God. They had turned from their idols to God. You can't have a turning into without a turning from. We must turn from ourselves and our path and what we're worshiping, what we're trusting in. Maybe we're trusting in idols. Maybe we're trusting in our own abilities. Maybe we're trusting in some false religion, whatever it is. We must turn from that. The last words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission in Luke 24:47 is repentance. Repentance. God is long-suffering. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 10, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Why? It is appointed a man once to die, and after this to judgment. Notice verse 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. The very one that died for our sins, Christ himself, he was ordained to this. He will be the one that will judge the world at his second coming. Now, because our time is just about to come to its end, let me leave this with you today. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. We must turn from ourselves, our idols, whatever it is we're trusting in, and turn unto God and trust Him. Again, Acts 20, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, that came to this earth, went to the cross, and died for the sins of the world. We find that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And in the context of that chapter, he says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We find in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you realize that on this day that Paul stood on Mars Hill, that they were those who rejected him, but there were also those who received the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's some in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they mocked. I mean, they literally mocked. They rejected the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 32, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And as Paul departed, they were, in verse 34, certain men that clave unto him, and it says, and they believed. And there were women also that believed in the same verse. Where do you stand with God? He is the God of all creation. He created this universe. He created man and put him on this earth. And he has every right to judge you if you reject him as Savior. So I plead with you and beg with you today, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, receive Him, call upon Him, and God has promised that He would save you. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast today. It's always a blessing to be able to preach by radio when we hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you. If it has, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've been saved through the program, we would be delighted to hear from you. Our church would enjoy hearing the testimony. Well, again, we thank you for listening each time, and we pray the Lord's blessing on you. Until next time, may God bless.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.